So we're really excited that Evan let us come speak to you guys to set us up. We want to tell you about a project we're working on. We're calling it the Diaspora Project. It's very much influenced by Evan Mogan's talk, which was given a couple months ago. And we think we have a good idea of maybe how we want to implement maybe like a sliver of it, how we think that something that within scope that we think we could make and we could use it to kind of make a difference and kind of take a first step forward to kind of that idea of the Freedom Box. So, anyone want to go?
Yeah. I guess this is representative sample of how many people view the internet. But it's much more than
those two.
Yeah. but basically, right? We all know this is the same thing that Evan talked about. You know how, we sort of have this history of like. Things were once separate, and now it's all conglomerated into sort of this server-client model. That was something that I think we all were really sort of inspired by, that idea that, maybe that's how it maybe naturally evolved, but maybe that's not really actually the most, the architecture which makes the most sense. So, again, like this is all stuff you guys know, you know, that right now everybody's putting all of their information in one place, whether that's YouTube or Facebook or all these different things, right? This is all things that Evan was saying. And it's not that peer-to-peer model, which sort of when the internet was invented, that people sort of imagined that it would be, you know, people directly serving things to other people. So we were kind of thinking about this when we were trying to think of, what we could do to sort of make something that would sort of kind of try to rectify this.
Yeah, because, as Evan Mogan was saying also, They give us nothing, like the ability to post photos on the internet or like comment on photos or on videos, and which is we've been doing in the year 2000, yeah. So I guess the Freedom Box, we just want to make the first step towards the Freedom Box. In particular, we want to write server-side software that runs on pretty much anything. So I guess this is some of our things that we would like to do. One reason why it would be, I guess, convenient is because not only is it gonna pull in all your information and...
Well, hold on, let's just talk about, quickly.
Yeah.
Jumping ahead.
I mean, no, I was just gonna say, all your stuff is gonna be in one place, and that's convenient for many people. That's why they have aggregators.
Well, anyways.
So no matter where it's running, you're gonna be able to... You're going to be able to export all of your data in whatever format you want. So it's a first thing. So
like the Dropbox.
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Well,
so yeah,
we're just trying to draw the line because we're not going to go straight to Freedom Box land because, for one, we think that's kind of majorly inconvenient. People aren't used to that right now.
Right.
So we got to draw a line. So, do you want to?
Yeah, I was just saying, so the Freedom Box is, we see it as, an endpoint, and it's almost, the end of where we want to go, and I think in order to get there, these are kind of four things that we wanted to maybe say, okay, we're going to, start the inertia towards sort of the Freedom Box, but from people going to signing up for Facebook and logging in at any time on demand to going to, carrying around a Shiva plug in their pocket where they're just going to plug it in order to get their information, that's a really big, paradigm shift and a really big behavioral shift. And people don't necessarily, normal people don't necessarily, change their behavior, overnight on this kind of thing. So we wanted to take essentially a step and kind of scope the idea of the Freedom Box in a way that we think that people would get an experience which is comparable what they're getting to now, but actually in its architecture and sort of its formation is much closer to sort of the concept of a Freedom Box. So that kind of brings us to what we were kind of saying and what Ilya was sort of mentioning a little bit earlier of this is our kind of first attempt at a step towards the Freedom Box. Again, this kind of stuff doesn't necessarily happen overnight, and we need to sort of start the ball rolling in this kind of idea.
Yeah, we just want to raise the mass of people towards privacy, because it's not that people don't care for privacy, because there are, on Facebook, when Facebook opens their debates for privacy, lots of people give input, say, no, I don't want my location shared or all of these things on the publicly viewable page, but right now, there's nothing for, not even for us. There's nothing that is both super convenient and super privacy friendly.
So yeah, basically what we wanted to do is create something that feels like how the way Facebook works now, but in reality is much more decentralized. So we think we have a couple of ideas for how this works. So again, this
it's going to be a web server, basically, that will run on any computer, but we expect people to either run it on computers they already have lying around, or to have it hosted on basically like rented hosting, which is like, you know, I already have rented hosting right now, or on something more like a sort of
portable virtual machine, maybe that lives off on a flash drive, or something somewhere around here. We're trying to think about, like, you know, maybe there's not that many people who run a web server under their bed, but there's an even bigger slice of people who maybe, let's just say, run their own WordPress installation on their own website, right? So we think that, obviously, that there is, like, a certain level of security that, like, you don't necessarily own that hardware. Maybe you don't even know where that hardware is. But we think that if we could sort of, in a way, create something that would people would get used to the idea of centralizing all of their information so it could work for them rather than being dispersed across the internet. We think that's a really key shift that needs to happen first.
Dispersed across the internet and owned by corporations.
Right, absolutely. Right. So if nothing else, the first thing everybody needs to do is at least have a copy of them that they can say that they own, a copy that they can essentially use to empower themselves, because I think there's a lot of collection of data.
Charge those corporations for access.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's we have
your own web service.
Yeah,
that's a really intuitive concept. Yeah. This is something we've been talking
about. Yeah, I actually have an well, we can maybe talk about it after because it's not in the presentation. But I have a funny idea that, like, because once everybody, if I could say
no, but it's because this idea they have up at Berkman now of the vendor rights management. You know what I mean?
Oh, cool. That's really cool.
Where you know, you rather than the digital rights management, they're managing you. You actually manage the relationship.
I hadn't heard of that, but I had actually said something basically like that to Evan.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because human beings have never owned all the stuff that they create, right? Because it's always been the second you put that photo online, you're actually granting Facebook.
His exact example was, so I own all my book purposes, and then I tell Amazon, okay, now recommend to me the books. You could borrow my data for a couple of minutes. Is that what they're proposing at the Berkman Center?
I forget what the system is, but they had a where they related it to was like a payment system where you decide, say, I'm going to spend $30 on music this month, and then you just like everything you hear, you then like tag, and then at the end of the month you go, okay, I listen to like, you know, 100 tunes, so that's this much to all these people. You decide how much you're going to pay.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in an extension somewhere sort of the Radiohead model to deal with everybody.
Yeah, I heard about that, and I think what it does is it counts the number of times you hear the song.
Yes.
And it says, oh, you've listened to this song X amount of times. Like, probably you like this band. And I think it automatically does something along the lines of saying, oh, like, let's slice your $30 and give them 30%.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah, I think you can even sort of, like, rank things or something as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Pirate Bay was also talking about a similar thing. I don't know if they're the same project or not.
All right, let's...
Yeah.
Okay.
So the first thing a seed is going to do is connect to all the web services you currently use and bring down all of the data that you have on those services. So Facebook profile information, photos,
Flickr, Twitter,
basically everywhere.
All the funny names that they have in the world these days.
Right, because fundamentally this is just kind of a common sense thing, we think, is that it's silly that if I want to go find out stuff about Ilya, there's no reason why I should have to go through any service to get to that information. I actually, like, care about Ilya online, so
yeah,
I don't care if he's sharing stuff on Last.fm or Flickr or Twitter. I don't care about any of these services. I'm not friends with Facebook, right? I don't care about any of these services. I just want to know stuff about Ilya. So the beauty of this model is if everybody is responsible for pulling in all their stuff they have online, and then all I have to do, or if I have a web server that's doing the exact same thing, then all I have to do is connect with Ilya's web server, and we can just essentially trade information.
Yeah,
and
because what the content type also doesn't matter if suppose, like Max decides to upload, I don't know, like CAD models or pictures of his cat or whatever Maxis has to upload, if my diaspora node is talking to Max's diaspora node, there's no reason to, or suppose Max says, oh, you should check out this song, and it's a message. It, like, all the content, we're, in a way, context agnostic, so we don't care for what we want to share, we just want to communicate with our friends.
So, and then also it's to this point, too, that if Ilya's sharing his music, and I don't have a LastFM, I never see that information ever. But if he's scraping his own information and then sending it to me, I can still know stuff about my friend, stuff that he's willing to share with me.
Yeah, like suppose I'm a fan of a band or, yeah.
So how are we going to work? We sort of have three pillars of how we think this is, we're focusing on decentralization, encryption, and works with everything you have. And it, so.
Because it makes the trend, like if the step is this large, then the transition to it will get 50% more people than the step is much bigger.
So how is this maybe different than maybe some of the other decentralized social networking platforms you're talking about? I think one of the cool things that we're thinking about is that, like, you own your own instance of this web application, and it is wholly separate from anybody else's instance of the application. So really, even if you're the only person in the entire world that you know that has one, we think it still has use to you because it's pulling in all of your information. So it's, you know, aggregating all the stuff you want about you. In the first iteration, for the conceivable future, in order to make it easy, we're also going to make it so it's also a client to all these services. So it provides that use value of, you know, we realize not everybody's going to have a diaspora node for, you know, the first couple of years. So maybe you do want to sort of put that stuff back upstream. We sort of hope that eventually.
What was this word you called it? A diaspora node?
Yeah, or seed, yeah. So, that's what we're talking
about. Diaspora, that's the name of your system, is that it?
That's the version one name, yeah. We didn't worry about too much. The idea we had for that, because I guess there's depends on what you consider to be your dandelion. If your dandelion is Facebook, and then all the seeds spread, right? It means like a scattering of seeds, and it makes sense. But we did sort of realize that once you actually have all your stuff, it's about keeping it, you know, for yourself, not and sharing with your friends, but like having ultimate control over where that information is going.
And who hosts, say, like the equivalent of a Facebook group? The group leader has to host it?
Yeah, certainly.
It would work. I mean, the same way we have email lists, or we have, I guess, Facebook groups, and so either a group leader can host it within their own diaspora node, or they can spawn a new instance and share it with everyone who subscribes to the
That can be hosted on the internet of any regular internet host. You can make something that can run there that can do that.
Yeah.
Say like a group would be its own node, so someone might like change.
Mm-hmm.
Someone so you know give you know transfer ownership to someone else.
Yeah. So we were thinking also. So I guess not for version one, but for version, I don't know, maybe 1.5, to have multiple logins. In particular, so just for that example, when you want 10 people to access your particular group, and you want 10 people to be able to be the people that share content with the entirety of the people that subscribe to this node.
There are a lot of ways that could be implemented, though.
Mm-hmm.
You could make nodes that act as slaves to other nodes, and you could just change the master node. I mean, or just have it run on one node and have it be a level of access control.
So fundamentally what we're kind of actually sort of proposing is sort of a protocol, right? We're going to be making a web application which sort of adheres to sort of these rules, but just in the fact that these nodes themselves are sort of completely autonomous, like it could be implemented in any language you want, as long as you sort of adhere to the way we're sort of, what we're calling like our routing model. You know, you can make it, you know, in whatever language you really decide. So it's pretty simple, and it works just like the idea of a normal web API. And I'm sorry, this is kind of small for the screen. But I mean, basically what we're doing is all these are actually public routes, right? So let's say my website is max.com and Dan's website is dan.com, right? So basically, when you have a friend request, right, or whatever we decide to call it, what we're actually doing is exchanging GPG public keys, right? So once I have exchanged my public key with Dan, and he has given me my public key, we now have actually, what our nodes have actually done is created a special public route directly tied to Dan's key.
So this friend key, as we call it,
yeah.
And so I guess the easiest way to think of it is a folder, and so inside of that folder there will be photos, there will be updates, there will be messages, or whatever content we need. But it will all be encrypted, so it would be in a way hiding in plain sight.
Right.
So
basically, when anybody pings the route max.com/234 or whatever Dan's code is, what my server is actually going to do is pull up whatever JSON representation I have for that particular data and that particular route. So these are like RESTful routes, whatever, after the 234 can be any type of media which I'm sharing. It's going to encrypt it with Dan's public key because that's the key tied to 1234. And then it's going to send it out to Dan, or to whoever's requesting it. Now, I'm sure you guys are all familiar with BGP, and even if Jolly goes to max.com/1234, he's going to see a bunch of my encrypted data, but he doesn't, there's, you know, really, unless he's the NSA, there's no real good way he's going to be able to figure out that these are pictures of my
encrypted. Different permissions to
absolutely.
Different friends so that they don't.
Right, yeah, absolutely. Like, and we were even thinking about there's a little bit of a problem of, like, let's say I actually do share my location information to some subset of my friends, but maybe I don't share with Ilya. So what we might actually do is you can mask it by sending in all routes for everybody, they get some sort of garbage. So you couldn't sit there and ping all of my, like, photos, Twitter, you know, location, you would always get something back, whether
so
I actually
it
share
could
it
just
or not.
Be like randomly generated in order to, in a way, so that when you have bots attacking max.com/1234, they could just get random data, which even if they try to decrypt, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
You throttle that in such a way that.
And you could also just encrypt some really nice messages so they do break.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we could do that.
If you're running this, on your cell phone or at home or something, though, you could have bandwidth.
That was basically my question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I think like bandwidth is something, and I think that's one of the arguments of like why these services became centralized, right? Because in a computer science sense, these things need to be optimized, you know, and like you know your algorithm needs to be as you know finely tuned, and you know you need to. You need to, you know, compress as many bits as possible because, you know, Facebook hosts like
also,
what, a trillion.
I mean, it's now said that Google don't even have, you know, pay a cent of money for bandwidth because of peering arrangements because
right.
They have the content. In fact, the other, you know, backbone people are trying to get into the content business in order to, like, you know,
yeah.
keep their transit prices down.
Yeah, but the funny thing, one of the super magical things about this is that I don't know, have, like, 20, like, I don't know, maximum, like, I don't know, like, 200 people who my node is going to talk to. So when I'm not logged in, every 5 minutes, it can just download all of the updates so it's not slow and have them already on my Dasper node, ready for viewing when I log in.
And I think one thing that Ilya touched on too
is you still have to have a port open, which other people could kind of like hammer if they wanted to. Like.
Oh yeah, definitely. And there's definitely like the like classic problem of how are we going to deal with like polling versus like are we going to
push or pull? Yeah.
Yeah, push or pull. And I think that there is a couple of like kind of protocols that we're looking at and things we're thinking for sort of our future implementation. There are a lot of like federated hubs that kind of deal with this kind of thing where there's a hub that I guess is a community hub that's not necessarily somebody owns it but anybody could set one
like
up.
Like a tracker.
Yeah, that kind of concept. We were trying to keep it as like decentralized as possible because
yeah.
We don't necessarily want a point where like other than like an actual
yeah.
individual.
We should just have mine talk
yeah.
talking about access.
But you have to like get to some sort of where there's some sort of shared common. You know, like
yeah, for the groups example,
right.
For groups, I think, I mean, we talked about this and we'll continue discussing it. But I think for groups, it makes sense to to have a node that talks to lots of people, and maybe also make it so that it only talks out to them instead of, what do I mean by that? So like I run, like suppose I run a list, and this my particular Dasper node for this group would only, it would not pull anything from anyone. It would just send out data. I don't know, suppose, oh, there's a meeting today at 6:30 or... Yeah,
and then there's
what we can do is basically if we're dealing with a lot of information, say like I'm sharing a ton of high definition videos, it wouldn't make any logical sense. So if like Max is like, let me see your videos, that I go okay, and I like shove out all these high def videos to him every time, because that's gonna kill my bandwidth pretty easily. So I mean, what we're thinking about doing is just basically doing like a whole diff model, saying like this was the last time I updated for you. If I send you an encrypted timestamp, and you say, well, the last time I pulled was this time, and if the last time I pulled was after your diff, then you don't have to send me anything, because I already have it cached on my system. So, and it's going to be encrypted for me, just in case somebody else pulls it from my database. We don't have to worry
about
that.
But if someone like me that cranks out video
right.
by the yard, that diff is always going to be kind of...
Yeah, it's going to be pretty
it,
brutal.
It is better than, getting like, okay, let me get 10 videos for this page.
If you
well,
get
I think once
the video,
there's still going to be need for, like, cloud services in terms of, like, media storage. I mean, that's, but what you're going to be handing out is the links.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
And definitely, like, this is something, too, we're figuring out, because we want to actually, like, scrape as much as we can to centralize it, just because we really want to try to figure out ways to get copy. And we even and this is further down the line, this is something I think we're going to look at this summer, but we were even kind of toying around with a cool idea where we use some sort of everybody is their own tracker, and we use BitTorrent to distribute these videos where essentially
Right. Now you're talking, yeah.
Yeah, so...
which is, I think, a little bit how Skype works.
Mm-hmm. I believe so, yeah. So, I mean, our first version that we have sort of a prototype running, right? We want to keep it simple. We want to keep it in scope. We want to keep it something that we can build, that we can make real. Because I think that's the most important thing. There's so many.
I think that even if you build it so that it's something that people just can run along with their WordPresses on their websites.
Yeah.
That's going to be fine. That's going to be a great improvement over what exists now.
Yeah, absolutely. And to our point earlier, that
much like WordPress, you could install it on your own machine if you want to.
Yeah.
If you're a power user.
Yeah.
So, and another thing, for instance, sending a message is sort of trivial, because what I actually do if I want to send a message to Dan, I actually send it in, I actually save it on my own server, and whenever he comes to check my node, it's going to say, oh, Max has a message for you. And there's no need to, for a centralized service that's going to ping him or whatnot. It just fits within sort of this current model of sort of many instances.
So in other words, every time you log in, you'll be pinging all your friends.
Mm-hmm. When you go to physically check. But the good thing about this is using this whole decentralized concept and kind of banking off that for speed optimizations and stuff. So, say Max sends me this message and it has a huge zip file in it, say a virtual machine or something. There's no reason why I have to ping him a lot of times. Once I get that message, it's mine. So even when his node is off, say it's under his bed and his mom trips over his cable or something, and his node is off, right? Because I pulled it and it's encrypted for me, I could still see it, and it's not going to cost him anything if I view his file 10 million times. I'm just costing myself. Mm-hmm. And if it's under my bed, I'm not actually going externally to retrieve a large file more than once. You should only retrieve it once. Then it's in your possession because he granted me access for this message.
One issue with that is, I put up a bunch of Facebook photos.
All right.
And then I decide, shit, I shouldn't have put a couple of those up.
Right.
If you have it and you can unencrypt it, there's no way for Max to say, I don't want Dan to be able to see that anymore.
Well, there is some magic, I believe, with GPG, and I think you can invalidate.
You can time it,
You can invalidate your key after you've sent stuff out. This definitely is
a signing. If you encrypt it to his key, as long as his key is valid, you can sign it valid.
Right. Okay. Then you can future sign.
Yeah.
But there's an analogous thing to this, which is right now, if you post something on the internet, that's really embarrassing. Someone's probably going to cache it for you. So okay. I don't think that's a big change from right now. But you can do things like Usenet did confront this problem in its early days when they had crazy spammers. And they end up carrying a cancellation list, which was posts that should be deleted from downstream servers. So you could send out cancels that would say.
Yeah, and presumably you trust your friends to not do anything too bad to you. So
people break up.
No, this is true.
You can't just say.
The argument with that is right. If it's on the internet, it's on the internet, I can bet you I can save it, and it's going to be mine forever. However, if we have this model, we could technically work in a timeout schema or something, but it's anything's better than right now, right?
After I've downloaded the file that you made available to me,
right?
And I decrypt it on my hard drive. It's permanently there is a decrypted, unencrypted version on my hard drive. So you decided that was a mistake for me to have that. I've still got it.
It has to be a voluntary action for you to delete it.
This is true. And so in a way, we are most likely will put in these defaults that, since it's open source software, people could just turn off. But the fact that this whole cancellation model, we can put that in there, and non-technical users will most likely not do that. The other issue or that we have been confronting is, if we have all of these friends that share lots and lots of stuff with us, our hard drive space is going to disappear pretty quickly. So,
well, I think for photos and movies, you don't download it all the time. You just download a reference to it. For a text post, like a wall post.
Yeah.
You can download that or an RSS feed.
Exactly. So there's there's two things. We can do this OAuth model, which is sometimes I go to Max to get his photos, and then retrieve it back, which is most likely what we'll do for the first implementation.
I think it has to be a system of drop boxes, and that's got to be up there on the internet. I think that's Apple, whatever.
Mobile Me. Yeah, there's actually one thing.
Drop.io has already.
Dropbox. I mean, but then you're back in the cloud,
This is the advantage of
Tahoe
PG.
File system.
That's something
to think
about.
It allows,
that exists, then you could plug that into
Absolutely.
Yeah, people who do the storage will still have the logs. Still be able to sort of, so you'll lose that amount of control. What you do get the control of is the social graph, and that's the point of the exercise. And I think that the hosting of media is not a practical proposition given bandwidth and everything constraints. There's a reason people don't, host their websites on their own machines. And the biggest one is bandwidth restraints, and that this will continue to be there, and that the photo buckets of this world are going to be there forever, you know what I mean? So you can just have a choice of them, as long as you just create, and they have systems, and if you have this, they rapidly introduce systems which will accept you send the key to this person, and they only serve it up to the person that's got the key, and this way will solve your whole problem, because you can always remove it from the photo bucket or wherever, and so the problem is solved.
It also means the photo bucket has to keep n copies of every image for n being all the people that you.
So that's actually not.
Yeah.
What the usual model for GPG encrypting large blocks to multiple people is to actually RSA encrypt. So you encrypt a header for each person uniquely that contains a symmetric encryption key, which is the same across all the encrypted headers. And then the large files encrypted with the symmetric encryption key. So you only actually have to store one copy of a large file, and then you send out this header with an AES key in it.
So it's basically you encrypt a password with your PGP key, and you just send the person the password, and the password unlocks. It's the same for everybody.
And this is again a sort of business opportunity for someone to set up, media hosting that accepts the protocols.
Well, it's actually, I don't think you'd even need that, because you can just have a URL in your in the message that I passed to Max, and the, what was that URL would just be an encrypted file that I had put onto Drop.io or something.
But you can, you know, but you can furthermore, you know, by password protecting the files in a way that only, you know, people can only, in your, you have to send the person, you know, the password before they can get the file that's in, mm-hmm. in the system.
Well, something like Tahoe basically use standard protocols that exist already for that.
Mm-hmm.
So that there was, you know, you could then anywhere on the internet where you can store stuff, you can make that part of your Tahoe file system with your friends. So that seems to kind of work with this.
Yeah, well, we definitely have looked at it. I've talked to a couple, like the guy who maintains the Debian package. He was just saying, like, it sounds like it's like, you know, just sort of coming of age, and I guess I haven't looked into it too deeply. I was under the impression it's more for like having redundancy amongst your friends.
Well, that's something you would want to have with this, because if your mother gets the
Sort
of running your
right.
bed, it does have, that's part of the idea, but it's the idea is setting up this redundant file system with your friends, which seems to.
Right, but do I have access to Ilya's stuff, or does he just have an encrypted version of my stuff? And I have an encrypted version of his stuff that I can't necessarily access, but it's just...
Well, it depends on what permissions you give.
Okay, cool. Yeah, it's in the presentation, actually. So so this is, we have a prototype. It's working. We have sort of, we've built it on Ruby on Rails. We know Ruby on Rails. Again, like, the idea is we're almost creating a protocol here of, like, well, if you sort of store all your stuff at this route, and if I get this, and you support GPG in this way, you can write it in whatever crazy language you want to write it in. Ruby on Rails, we think we can make something, you know, lean and mean and quickly, and really, again, like, making it real is really important, because we honestly, like, want to use this as soon as possible, so...
Yeah, I'm really excited.
Another cool piece of tech, we're using MongoDB. It's a NoSQL database, but the really cool thing about it is you can actually store whole files in the database, and so it's a key-value database.
File system.
Yeah, with the file system in it, and it's really pretty wicked fast for, like, non-relational data that's not, like, heavily looking up within tables and whatnot. We already have GPG working with full keychain support, so that also means, like, you know, the prototype node can now, you know, encrypt a piece of JSON and send it out to another node for whatever key they've sort of said they're using. And just to sort of demo, to get sort of basic content, we sort of have made very rudimentary plugin system and support for the Twitter and Flickr APIs. This is something, figuring out the plugin architecture and, like, what services we want, that's something, obviously, like, the beauty of open source is if we can just sort of construct a really easy way to build one, then anybody can build for whatever service they happen to be using. So, both of those go, I believe, are done as they're both push and pull. Again, we want to, like, make
it... The Flickr doesn't push it.
Okay,
Flickr but doesn't. That's, I don't know,
right.
A day worth of work, or half a day.
So cool. So then the other thing, just for us, this is kind of what we've done. We've only been working on it for like maybe a month or month and a half, from like planning and coding and everything. And we also have finals and everything too. So we're actually planning on working on it this summer a lot. So one of the things we want, full robust sort of that kind of routing API model sort of set. So our sort of seeds can talk to each other. Complete PGP encryption. This is actually pretty much done, but we want to make it a little more robust, a little more easily configurable, a nicer kind of web interface to manage your GPG keychain. And again, like I mentioned before, like sort of the plugins and how are they going to work and how are we going to make it so they can scale? How are we going to make sure that if I don't have the LastFM plugin and Ilya sends me LastFM information, how are we going to keep it agnostic enough that my node is still going to know about how to display it? And again, we want to take some time to sort of make this first API. We don't want to necessarily slog the first thing together. We want to actually, like, build something, live with it for a little while, see if we could simplify it and make it easier and, you know, make more sense. And hopefully by the end of the summer, release sort of a, like, beta version 1 that is going to be, we're going to use the AGPL license to sort of license it, and we'll throw it up on GitHub, and then hopefully once we have some time to kind of really iron out a nice, elegant interface for our software. And we're on top of the second sprint?
Sure. Second sprint is basically all about maintaining it and extending it. And we're going to get a lot of leverage from the open source community because, I mean, this is really where everybody comes in. I mean, we just want to get a little spark going, I guess, to start a fire. And then, you know, we're basically going to work on making, like, a developer network, making sure everybody's on the same page, like, you know, what's going on so people can actually communicate with each other fairly easily. Further streamlining setup, too, as people are making these new modules, say, like, somebody has this really obscure network that they belong to, and they want to make a module. I mean, the more the better. So that's what we're going to be doing. And with the streamlining setup thing, we want to make it as easy as possible. Say, like, take my sister, for instance, who's computer illiterate. She has a Facebook, and she knows how to use it because she just has to, you know, press a button and it works. Now, she's obviously not right now going to put a computer under her bed and start hosting everything out of our house. So we just basically want to streamline the setup where, you know, we get as close as possible to her just pressing a button, you know, one-stop shop, and just clicking it and setting it up so there's really no barrier to entry. And then she joins, and then another button she clicks, and she's like, yeah, this is my Twitter account, Flickr, and Facebook, and it just, like, takes everything, it's like, okay, and it copies it. So all of her information, she doesn't have to worry about, you know, this is a new network, I gotta put all my stuff back on it. It's like, actually, it's gonna take all of your stuff and put it on it. So that's the two-button setup, basically.
And this is also for developers, right? Our first like niche of people as hackers and people who are willing to sort of host this stuff and pay for their own bandwidth and whatnot. But one development model we've been kind of doing that's been kind of cool, and we were kind of thinking this would be a cool way to distribute it too, is we are actually all developing in a virtual machine where we just have just copied the exact virtual machine and everybody has the same copy. Makes development really easy, certainly, because you just download it and everybody has the same setup. You don't have to worry about, like, oh, my GPG package doesn't work, or
all
this doesn't
the
work.
Problem.
But we're even thinking of, like, that'll be our, like, development kit, is you can just download a whole virtual machine and you have all the right dev environment. Because, but in addition to that, in addition to being, like, really great for hopefully for people who want to, like, make a plugin or do something else, it could be a really cool way for us to actually distribute the whole application. There's so many hosting providers out there that, like, you just sort of install a virtual machine and then the virtual machine runs and sort of hosts
it. Sandboxed in certain ways.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So,
as far as that goes, if somebody does run it on there.
Right. Yeah, I mean,
a whole server, it's separated. There's a file corruption.
Yeah.
Or they're running Windows, they get a virus, whatever that is.
Yeah, it's also totally. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's just separate, and you know, and again, like, because there's a lot of these disparate packages. I mean, the first time we were doing this, you know, it takes a long, you know, this is like, you know, kind of fly-by-night software. So,
yeah.
You know, there's a lot of different things we're pulling in, a lot of different packages that aren't necessary. We've kind of, like, you know, we've built up interfaces for them to sort of interface, but they weren't there. It's not like, you know, we had to build that. So getting everything to work harmoniously is, the virtual machine has been a really big win. We think it could be a cool way that you just download the whole VM, you put it on whatever, you know, slice host or something, and then you just have to configure DNS information and generate a new public key, and you're ready to go. So, and then the other things that we want to think about this summer that definitely aren't version one things, but we definitely think, like, are super powerful technologies that can empower people. Tahoe FS, as we already mentioned, XMPP, which was one of the services you actually recommended that we check out. Or
I did.
I believe, which one? One Social Web?
Yes.
That's all built on XMPP. That's actually Vodafone.
Yes, yes. I put it on the notice board.
Yeah. And Ilya is really obsessed about VoIP.
I am hugely obsessed about VoIP because I want to just, like...
There may be in England that didn't have us.
The Vodafone?
The social web, was it? The idea that it was over there and not over here.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's actually a corporate-sponsored project by Vodafone.
So they're also into, I guess, XMPP and voice over IP. But I think in order to have people migrate, it has to be really awesome. And part of the reason why it will and should be awesome is because phone calls cost money these days, as Evan knows.
Yeah.
I mean, apparently.
Not really.
So, but like, I don't know. I wanna be able to, out of the box, call Max if he's online.
And
or when it runs on my cell phone, I wanna just be able to call any of my friends for free.
And this kind of also goes into a category of, you mentioned owning your own social graph. Like, so many normal applications that we also use would be so empowered if, just by default, they just had awareness of my whole social graph. And there wasn't necessarily the privacy concern that I'm letting just another service access all of my friend information.
I mean, I know that just hooking, say, my notice board in through network logs into my web page, or, you know, into my Facebook profile, so I can write something on the WordPress and it goes out through Facebook. You know, it's such a powerful connection that people are never going to come and look at the blog.
Right.
Otherwise, you know what I
mean?
And so, I mean, it's obvious, you know, that people could go for RSS and readers, but in fact, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't happen. So it's funny what does work and what doesn't, you know. And I think there's a lot of lessons to learn from why MySpace beat down Friendster, and why, you know, Facebook beat down MySpace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as to what made those things, to find what is going to be that little killer thing that's going to make everybody go, that's so yesterday, and this is
that's
so today.
I mean, I have spent a little bit of time thinking about it. I think, in a way, it's also like simplicity,
mm-hmm.
and things not being too cluttered.
Yeah.
Because MySpace became cluttered, and I think Facebook is becoming really cluttered. So that's one of the things that in our user interface we just want to make it slick.
But not only that, like the idea of like empowering everybody by showing them that they have all this information, and sort of the sum of all of that information about you is really powerful when it's a way that...
I think there's language still to be talked through on this.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, I'm even thinking, like, let's say if I get some sort of new smartphone, right? There's like, right now you have to plug in like, you know, 5 or 6 different services, even if there is a service for different information, whether or not it's your like contacts, your music, your videos, all these different things.
Whereas normally what you do in a phone is all you do is put your friends in the address book, and then the rest of it... That should be it.
Right.
I mean, that's full stop. You know, that's they're in your address book, which means that you're networked to them. You don't have to go through any to like enter them into that service.
Right, and we see it as like you'll have your own route in your diaspora node. So all you do is you just point your phone at your own route, and your own route knows that you have permission over everything, and boom, you type in your URL, your username, and your password, and it pulls down every relevant piece of information about you. Because it's in one place. You could apply this idea to like any gadget that you'd want to sort of enlighten with your data, because there's not like a risk there other than the fact that maybe you're copying.
The other thing is like, you know, it's this business of like the fact that people have different faces. You know, you have like me. You know what I mean? I'm
mm-hmm.
you know that, but the face they put onto their family versus the face they put onto their friends versus the face they put onto their workers. This is something that Facebook is obviously having a problem with this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the idea of having, you know, going in and how you set your identity of naturally sort of just being able to classify your friends, I mean, into like what personality, what facet of you they know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And definitely the permission models are very, very key for what we're doing.
Well, I believe that could, you know, at the moment that's a weakness there. That's a definite weakness in the Facebook model.
Yeah, and that's also like, in a way, a low-hanging fruit, right? We want to pick up as much of these awesome, I guess, like in a way, silly low-hanging fruits that Facebook, I guess, in a way, maybe doesn't want people to have, because they want to just everyone share with everyone.
Yeah.
But yeah. So I guess this is our summer plus plans. And so I guess we want to just work on it full time. And Max can talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I mean, we all kind of actually like turned down jobs and whatnot. And what we're actually trying to do right now is we just got approved for Kickstarter, which is what the hack. So we're trying to actually raise some money so we can go and just think about this for full time. We really think. I'm sorry?
Another thing to think about is Mozilla Drumbeat.
Sorry, I did. Yeah, I saw that link too. Yeah, definitely. Is that also like a fundraising platform?
They are going to, if I'm calling correctly, give, I think, 10 grants of $25,000
okay.
of seed money, which is appropriate for this. And there was a project just like this.
Mm-hmm.
Blanking out here, that was put off there, and one person put it off, and I signed up to be part of it. There's been no action since. If you, you know, wanted to just get it, plug
there's
into
a,
that.
There's a thousand projects on there. I mean, that's the whole thing. Is you could, you know, you can dig like the boat up or down the project, so it's
right.
a project gets floated.
But to plug into that when you're already doing something and have other user support.
Cool. So, yeah, so we're definitely going to take a look at that. But we have a Kickstarter going to live tomorrow. We made some funny videos.
Oh.
What?
I still didn't give you, is
nope.
this too late?
Nope, it's not too late. We can edit it at any
okay.
time. We edit more.
You can edit it even more than five?
Okay. Yeah, the text. So that's going to be really great. I'm sure you might guys get spam from Evan with those links maybe. But, yeah, we made a good video. And, again, we'd actually love feedback, you know, from you guys, too. Get to see sort of our dry first beta, like alpha presentation. Clearly, got some things to iron out. We actually, Evan and also, we're lucky enough that Evan hooked us up with Evan Moglen. We're going out to dinner with him, so we're going to kind of get his feedback and sort of, you know, whether that's, you know, just see what he says, you know, maybe get his blessing, maybe not. Maybe just, you know, he says amazing things. So he inspired us once already, so who knows what, you know, kind of awesome things he's going to tell us. There's also the Awesome Foundation, which is like a small grant. That's kind of a new project. I don't know if you've heard about it, but it's just like 10 people get together every month, and they all give $100 to something they just think is cool. So, Elizabeth Stark is actually on it. Clay Shirky is actually on it. And another woman who we also sort of have some sort of exposure to is also on it.
And
so
it's also city-based. So there's the New York City Awesome Foundation, Boston Awesome Foundation, San Francisco Awesome Foundation. So
New
York City one.
Yeah.
Well.
So again, like we just need to subsist on pasta, basically for 3 months and sort of make this awesome open source project. So yeah, that's what we're doing about this project. So we think it's gonna be real open source software in 3 months. So thank you very much for giving us a little extra bit of time to talk about this with you. And our website is sort of like going up now.
Join gearsparrow.com.
Mm-hmm.
What about gearsparrow.com and .org or presumably com?
They're gone, yeah.
All of them are domain scalping sites. So
yeah, one of them is an actual guy.
.com was available and the .org was not?
No.
Join then.
No, we have join.
But they're just yeah.
But diaspora.com and .org, I think, are
those
are getting
expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, you know, maybe one day. But
yeah, I don't know. Is there legislation? Not legislation, but like, is ICANN doing anything about that? Because I read.
No.
So. Oh, okay.
It's big business.
Yeah.
Cool.
But what they, you know, I mean, something that you might want to think about with this stuff would be getting a you know, it's like a top level domain that would be, you know, specifically for the purpose of the service.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, we were kind of imagining that, like,
I mean, if you had money, you know,
yeah.
It's half a million to like do it, but it would be, you know,
cool.
something that could work.
Yeah, I mean, we were kind of thinking again, like there already is a really great, you know, distributed name service out there.
There might be
DNS,
some country code somewhere that might
use
work.
That. Yeah, no,
yeah.
We definitely like look.
.me is, I know, is actually.
Already pretty over staked.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we wanted to just get making it, so naming
yeah.
it was.
That's great.
But
do you have an actual working demo to show us? Or?
We have like the prototype. We have it in two parts. I mean, I guess we could show you two of the parts, but like one part we have because we haven't merged our branches, our Git branches yet. But we could boot up the different versions. What version? Who's branch is working. Hello?
Hey, we'll keep master working.
All right. Yeah.
Master.
So this is
that's
just the Mongo.
Yeah.
It's been my experience that impromptu demos of pre-alpha projects probably is...
Oh, yeah, you know what? GPG isn't working on my machine, actually, so there's not that much relation.
Get them in here.
Yeah.
Okay. I wonder how that's going to handle my app.
What is it resuming?
It's good. The Ruby GPG gem is not in super a lot of high use, so we essentially had to go through so many different errors.
But we figured that from us.
We figured it out, so we've been able to like post back to some like 6 months old posts that were unanswered about how to fix it, which is pretty cool. So is this already running? I think it is. I don't know which. Nope.
You should pull.
I think you're probably not on a master.
No, I think this is that GPG agent info thing. But. What?
Yeah,
you're on encryption. You also modify. Oh, nice.
And
that's
okay, and then actually just do it quickly. I know what it is. App
application
controllers.
Because we've been writing copy for 5 days.
I know, yeah. Oops. It's audio. It's this thing right here. That's not good. Alright, well, this was maybe a bad idea, but... Nope, I don't think that this is gonna work.
Just comment it out, maybe.
You could just check
in
out
the controller. Master.
It's your own encryption.
What are you telling me to do?
Just comment out in the post controller. On the top, remember? Just comment those two lines up.
Yeah, okay, so... That's it. Anyways, okay, so this is how it looks, and there's just a single bug with the encryption and per session.
Is this like the public view, or...?
Yes, so yeah, right now, yeah, basically, what we're essentially saying is that, like, it also can serve as your website, and you can host your blog here, and your Twitter updates. If you want to make them public, then you know what? Then that's, you can make them public, and people could go to, you know, your website and see whatever content you want to leave unencrypted, essentially. That's up to you. Certainly, anytime you're going to be sending something to someone... we're still going to use encryption if it's to a certain person. Maybe there's, you know, in the future, maybe we even have even more fine grain. You know, maybe on like a per post level, it's like this post only goes to friends, this post is public.
Yeah.
So certainly, yeah. So as of right now, this would be sort of the public view, or actually the owner view. Actually, is the way that I think that this scope is going. That if I was, because the idea is I will always be able to go to maxhalsberg.com, log into my site, and view everything, right? Because what we're essentially saying is that in order to view all of your friends' information, you're never actually going to leave your website, right? So if I went to...
Yeah, this is after you log in.
Right, so...
Me looking at Dan's page.
What?
Are we looking at friends? Will we see anything?
There's nothing implemented here, but essentially what is happening on the back end, but is we don't have front end for, is it's going through and pinging all of the people you've sort of registered as your friend, right? You can... Oh, I get this database has been wiped. Anyways, so there's not much to really show, but
So services and manage. So manage, you would add friends. You would add their public key, or no. This is the friend key, and then this is the public key, the GPG public key. And then under services, you can add
Twitter and stuff.
You can add Twitter, Flickr, username, password.
Oh, this is
weird.
One of the great things about using GPG keys is there's already a federated index system for GPG keys. You know, PGP key servers, there were probably like 100 that all, you know, sync to each other. And they have all the things that we need, basically. There's a comments field that you throw a URL into. There's a little avatar field and name.
It's under config.
That's pretty much it.
Sure.
Anyway, so, yeah, it's definitely still not done. So, but you know, it's going to be there, and I think this is not that much like Earth time.
And also, you can imagine like there being an email field here, a calendar field here, and whatever. Sky's the limit.
Yeah, I mean, and definitely like the whole social context we think is like a low hanging fruit, and again, it's something when we make it, people will understand that kind of. Sort of model, but in the future we even see that, you know, people could do a lot of these like cloud-based apps. Like one of the things that I think is a little bit scary is how like Google is now making like an app store for like Google apps, and there are all these different little services that all do some little handy thing, and they use your Google keychain and Google web space and all these other things, but we kind of think that most of those things are, as Evan said, like PHP doodads. And there's no reason why they couldn't just be a plugin and sort of adds a bunch of functionality locally to your node.
And also, that way you can say, like, none of my applications, you know, phone the mothership with all of my data. They'll just stay on my node.
Another thing is, these don't have to be content types. You know, you could have I want to look at just things for my close friends, or I want to look at just...
What you were saying about keeping it simple,
mm-hmm.
it's already pretty complex with, you know, when you're getting even up to that level,
mm-hmm.
you know, but just like, you know, basically, you know, the Facebook, I mean, you've got like the status updates,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the photographs and the videos and, you know, and so on, you know, is used just the same clutter that you were talking about is there down for, you're almost getting into the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're getting into, like, you know, service management. I mean, if you look at stuff like friend feed and so on, it's like, it's too much. You just go there and say, I just don't need to know that much. You know,
mm-hmm.
that's, you know, one of the reasons why people like the Facebook is it condenses everything into, like, that one news feed.
Yeah, and definitely that's what, like, this view is going to be, like, more or less just, like, a very concise, you know, sort of single stream of what's happening. And again, like right now, this is sort of like development mode where we're trying to, you know, maybe extend it in all these different directions.
Yeah.
So like, you know, this isn't necessarily even like our like front end. This is just what Dan's kind of doing.
I think the main thing is that this could be a little. It looks a little weird. It's actually that these are just filters for different content types. Everything is actually of type post.
Yeah.
So basically on a feed page, we're just saying pull in all posts, which it doesn't know what a video is, it doesn't know what a photo is.
No. You know, the thing, you know, which Facebook is doing now, like, you know, where they're using the algorithms to, like, you know, filter your news feed to, like, make it, I mean, I have to say, you know, now I'm, you know, 700 friends or something, you know. I used to like to read everything, but I don't have the time, and it's a useful function.
Yeah,
and about those things.
So one, I guess, criticism that people have is that if they only had a disable newsfeed from a particular friend or disable every update for a particular friend, it would be a lot better. So that's
that's how Facebook started.
Yeah,
that was how they started. And they moved to this model,
which is like too bulky. And the problem is, like, you're also kind of like forced into this bulk. I don't know. Like, I don't like. For me, like, Facebook is like a little too cluttered by default. So, in this way, I mean, we wanted to be super.
Well, you could make a friends list, then click on a friends list and see only posts from those friends.
We're also thinking it's like a point system, and we normalize data and all that.
How could Facebook not do that simple idea?
They do, I think.
They do.
You have newsfeed and most recent. You don't have an option to just show me from my NYU friends.
Yeah, you do. That's the whole basis of the system, that you can group your friends like that.
That's
but the reality of it
grouping
is
friends
the average. For the average user, like your sister or me, we don't be bothered to be grouping our friends.
I never used the thing. It took way too much time.
I think when you add a friend, that will be one of the things. Like, what? Because it's a one-time use sort of thing. You only have to say, oh, this person is in my.
It answers the two questions, which are the most relevant or talked about posts, and that's in the regular news feed, and the recent is. What's up now? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it hits the two things. To me, one of the things that I don't like about Facebook is that, for instance, I found a website about a year ago. It's a really good website where you would rent out their front room, their rooms, for like 3 days. You could call up any town and had all these people put in their thing.
Mm-hmm.
I posted it to a couple of people on Facebook. What a good thing. And then two months later, I'd forgotten what it was, and there was no way that I could go back and find out. So in some ways, it's a good thing, like conversations that disappear into you forget what you were talking about yesterday. What do you think about that? About the ability to search and recall conversations from before, which is what's so good about blogs and stuff.
That's actually really funny because
he's been talking about that.
That's what I've been crazy about, because. I deleted my Facebook recently after hearing Evan's talk.
Yeah.
2 months ago, which was great. But
you suspended it, in other words.
No, I deleted it. There's like a special link you can click. I don't know what's backed up or not. Like, I take it with a grain of salt, but it's basically just future-proofing myself.
He can't log back in, though.
I can't log back in.
No.
I'm basically gone. But the thing is, I had this folder, right? And it was all sorted by name, not by date. So I was going through and
he used Backupify, which is a service that scrapes your Facebook.
Yeah.
I scraped my whole thing before I deleted it. So it put it into a folder. And everything was organized by name instead of date. So I was going through and I was seeing my high school prom photos and all this stuff that I completely forgot was there, I guess. Which is the same as what you were saying.
Taking those, status updates,
It's
cool stuff that I guess my whole thing is that
the conversations you have with people.
The thing is, time, Facebook takes time and it's very linear. We have one dimension, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, that works to only some extent. But this one dimension of time doesn't relate to my interest of what's going on. And also, if I go to my feed page, right? If I go to my page, I'm going to see.
I would like a function, quite simply, on certain conversations at least, to go save this conversation.
Yeah.
This is a good one.
Right.
Which is something that they don't have there. Because occasionally there are very good conversations that you want to
But it's saved. You just don't have a great way of looking for it.
Because that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For them to look at.
Something I would also want to add is the ability to prioritize messages from certain people or other types of filters so that, if my wife sends me an email, the house is burning down, that comes, up to the top. And if something else, that's not, some person I hear from very frequently and I'm less interested in, there are a couple of different ways to filter that, both by the content and by who they are. So that you don't feel
overwhelmed. You can do that in the friends filters, quite simply. That's what that's for.
Yeah.
You really treat your email filters.
It's basically a battle between the linearity of time.
What I think is the other thing is that it's still a little bit of, I think the Asperger is a good concept. I think, from everybody going out, that I think this is a very, And I believe that half of the business of this is in the word. You know what I mean?
Okay.
That, you know, that's about 70% of it is just in the word that you use, the name that you give it.
Mm-hmm.
And I still think there's another name to be made for the nodes.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that's yet to.
And we were thinking seeds. Seeds
or dandy. I think.
I don't know because it's a home and it's your profile. I mean, this is why Facebook, you know, it does well. You know, because the idea of, you know, if you're having the profile in the Facebook, and that was the original thing, was the profile. So this is more. This is, you know, this isn't just the profile. It's more than that. It's your relationship. It's your, you know,
it's kind of your avatar.
It's kind of like your personality, and I think you're still to come up with that word.
Mm-hmm.
But when, you know, and that's when you will have arrived, when you know what that word is going to be.
Cool. Thank you again very much, and
yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry for
thank
taking
you.
A little extra
yeah.
of your time. But yeah, have a good
yeah,
meeting.
A lot more valuable than whatever else we battled about at the same time.
Well, now we're just going to bitch about one word thing,
right? Well, I would like to say, you know, I would like to just say, well, I started a mailing list today to like keep it going.
So you're taking over one of them?
I got to
get
some compilers,
so
I'll see you later.
I'll see you guys at 9?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, is there one thing actually? Could you just, can you just tell me what your names are again so
oh,
I can identify
sure.
you?
I'm Rafi Safair.
Yeah.
Maxwell Salzberg.
Yeah. Daniel Kirby.
Yeah.
Ilya Zhudomirsky.
Okay. Thank
you.
Thank
you.
Thanks
so much. Say again?
Not first.
Absolutely.
So, it's not
all right, thank you.
Have a good one.
Thanks, guys.
Good night.